Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
And now, the end is near, and so we face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, we'll all state our case of which we're certain. We've lived a life that's full, we've traveled each and every highway, but more, much more than this, Jessica, she did it her way. The Jessica Jones After Show starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome to the Jessica Jones After Show, the final Jessica Jones After Show, the final Marvel Netflix After Show. It is an honor and a privilege to be here to talk about this with each and every one of you. I'm Christian Blatt, joined, as I have been throughout this entire journey, by the one, the only, Adam Gertler.
Hello, Christian!
I can't believe we're here, that we're at an end of not just this season, but of just some amazing television. It's superhero stories, it's comic book stories, but it's great television. It's great acting. I've said throughout the course of these different seasons, there are performances that are better than, you know, what's supposed to be your serious dramas. Vincent D'Onofrio as the Kingpin, John Bernthal as the Punisher.
Ugh.
That scene in season two of Daredevil, they're sitting.
Let me go, Red.
Right, but they're sitting in the cemetery. It's just Frank and Matt talking, and you're like, what have I ever seen that's better than this? And the answer, nothing. Not in recent years. So Jessica Jones season three, for me, has really lived up to the expectations for the overall quality that we've gotten from all of these seasons. And before the end of the show, we are going to give you our top three Marvel Netflix seasons.
Ooh.
So if you're watching live in the chat, be ready with yours. Or if you're watching the archive version, you can go ahead and post it there. Adam and I, and I'm sure April, and probably Zia too, we'll all come back and look at the comments on these episodes. And we're definitely interested in hearing what you have to say.
It was with a tremendous pang of sadness as I was 30,000+ feet above the ground, flying over the country last night, that I knew that I had to press play on what would be the last Marvel series of an era.
Yeah. By the way, I had exactly the same feeling last night at 12:15.
I don't know that...
I was just like, I'm going to click on... And look, I feel confident that at some point I'll probably want to rewatch some of this stuff. But it's like, this is the last time I'm clicking on a new episode of a Marvel Netflix show.
Here's what I hope, and here's what my fear is. My hope is that we will be able to get this level of... You know, Jessica Jones was originally put out, Punisher, that this particular volume was put out under what was called the Max.
Right, yes.
Right, series. So this was basically, if you were older and wanted to see curses and some nudity in your comics.
Exactly.
More adult storytelling with characters that we're familiar with. You're not going to see that with your Captain America and more of your mainstream stuff.
Right.
But this was, I really appreciated that we got adult level storytelling, and I don't know. You know, I'm happy that on Disney Plus, all the Marvel stuff is going to be in canon.
Right.
But are we going to still be able to get anything as, mature content in the future? Will there be, how do you not do a Punisher like that? Where will Daredevil go? Where will Deadpool go, for that matter?
Right. And I think that what we're starting to see is with their also developing content for Hulu, Hellstrom, and especially Ghost Rider, they would not fit because they've said that Disney Plus is going to be family oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not going to be sort of a room there for this. So, and I'm glad to see that they're still interested in developing, you know, going down this path. I don't know when we'll see any of these characters again. I mean, we're still at about a year and a half out when they can legally do anything with them.
Right.
I think we'll see them again. I think that we'll get different actors for everybody, but I would love to be wrong. I would love to see everyone back. And if they have to do movies so we don't get quite as much, that's okay too. You know, if they feel like we're going to make a lot more money with a Daredevil movie, then, you know, I understand the business behind
that. Is Shang-Chi the master of Kung Fu? Does he tie in with Iron Fist at all ever? I feel like
their stories could interact, but I can't imagine that they will for the big screen.
And it makes sense because there was a lot of people complaining about just Iron Fist, the nature of Iron Fist's character being a whitewashed character. Like, granted, that was true to his origin, but that doesn't make it right. And people were like, you got this white savior martial artist character. Like, so now they're focusing on a martial arts character of Asian descent in the film, which is probably a better way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to sit down and watch at some point something called Power Man and Iron Fist. I love Luke and Danny together.
Or Heroes for Hire.
Yeah, exactly. Any of that. That's, you know, before the Netflix universe started crumbling out from underneath us, I felt really confident we were going to get a Heroes for Hire series in addition to an Iron Fist series, in addition to a Luke Cage series. You know, that they were going to keep, you know, maybe we could have gotten a Hellcat series. And we'll talk about it in the episode. I feel like they were building towards something with the Raft, you know. But we're getting way far ahead of ourselves.
To bring it back to Jessica, I just wanted to say that this series particularly suited the Netflix format as it found its stride. I'll compare it to the Fox Marvel films, which most people seem to agree that went out with a whimper. They were hit and miss, right?
Yeah.
But there were a lot of great ones. Logan, I thought, was great. I still haven't seen Dark Phoenix. It's insane that a Marvel fan of my caliber has still not seen an X-Men movie because they went out with a whimper.
Right.
Jessica Jones did not.
Did not. And that meant that the Marvel Netflix universe did not go out with a whimper.
No.
I will say that Dark Phoenix is not as bad as everyone is saying. I actually enjoyed it, and it is much better than X-Men 3, The Last Stand, which is the first attempt at the Dark Phoenix.
Yes.
Is that a compliment?
I will.
It's a backhanded.
It is definitely a backhanded compliment.
Yeah. So let's talk about where we start in Jessica Jones Season 3, Episode 13. Jessica knows what she has to do. She doesn't want to. She's been doing everything she can to basically not have to go hunt down Trish, to have Trish not end up in jail, to have Trish not end up dead, and she just has to do it. And she has this her narration right at the start of the episode. She knows that she's supposed to fix it. That's her job. She has to fix everything, and she
was going to let a couple of those deaths slide.
Yeah,
she wasn't going to turn
Nussbaumer and Montero. She could be like, they deserved it. And it's not that Salinger didn't deserve some kind of punishment. It's just that she didn't want Trish to have to do it. You know, if she could have called Frank Castle to, you know, be in that elevator to take him out, I don't think anybody would have been too upset.
It is kind of true to talk about how Trish has ultimately vilified herself with her third death. And I'm like, now she deserves her fate. And then I'm like, I was kind of rooting for the Punisher.
Yeah, both seasons. I was totally,
He kind of killed a lot of people.
He kills like three people during the title sequence in The Punisher. You know, Costa kind of gives her a, like, you got to go do this. But we get our first great surprise of the episode when Jessica heads back to her office.
Luke!
We do indeed get to see Luke Cage, the hero of Harlem, and he says he's just there as a friend.
Ugh.
She talks about how well-dressed he is. He talks about how he's got a new line of work. And it's just this reminder
season three
of Luke Cage that we're not going to get what they were building towards. And he has this whole speech to her about how he hopes, Luke hopes, that if he ever got too carried away, that somebody would take him down. And I'm like, that's exactly what they're building towards.
Mm-hmm.
Misty and Colleen were going to be the Daughters of the Dragon. They were going to have to take down Luke Cage, who is a bad guy now. And he was going to probably have to redeem himself in season four. Probably would have gone back to prison, you know?
Wow.
And it's none of it. We're not going to get to see any of it. And that just drove me crazy.
So nice to speculate. Yeah, I will say it was cool to see, but I'm like, this is so sad.
It was so sad.
We were introduced to this character like right in the beginning of season one.
Right.
They had some superpowered sex, which was really fun.
Really superpowered. Yeah.
I love the two of them together. It was great to see. And he does look great in a suit.
Yeah, and he looked great. And if you look, J-Lo in the booth has just a great photo of Luke and Jessica. And it's like, yeah, it's like old times. This is where we first got to meet Luke. And
but he knows, right? Like, he knows now why he's advising Jess on what she has to do with regard to Trish. How does he know?
Well, it's been on the news.
Because it's public, right?
That's right. It's on the news that she's friends with the Masked Vigilante, right. And the Masked Vigilante clearly is who took out Salinger. Presumably there's, I don't know, a camera in that elevator.
Who is Luke referring to when he said he had to send his friend to the raft?
Well, that would be the second half of season one. That would be Diamondback.
Because they were pals.
Yeah, right. That's essentially
right.
His brother.
His brother,
he's
right.
Like his half-brother because his dad played around.
Exactly.
So he had to send him to the raft. So he's like, credit to Luke Cage. He's got his own stuff going on up at Harlem's Paradise.
But he jumped on the train.
Jumped on the train.
Came down, got on the one, maybe the express.
It was lunchtime. You definitely got to take the express. And he was just like, you know, this is going to be hard, but this is what you need to do. And the telling part of their interaction, what I alluded to, Luke says that if he goes too far, he hopes someone takes him down. And Jessica asks him, that's a risk these days. And you know what? He doesn't answer her because he knows he's already heading on a dark path, you know, taking over basically
running
the crime syndicate mm-hmm. in Harlem. So it was so great to see him. As sad as it was to see Luke, you know what would have been sadder? Not seeing him. Not getting any little cameos, any pop-ups from any of our friends. Look, I would have been happy to see Misty or Karen or Foggy. You know, side characters would have been great. The fact that we got one of the other defenders, I was just like, this is great. And I knew that we saw somebody because there would be headlines that spoiled it, but I never knew it was Luke, and I really thought it was a side character. So.
I did not know. I'm proud to say that even though we did this show, I didn't know, and I kept myself pure, and it was a fun surprise.
Well, we did it, and we did the show in the space of 2 weeks, and that's plenty of time for spoilers to get out there. So let's talk about what Jessica has to do. She starts looking for Trish. She knows where to find her. She's sitting there in the dark, and just a little reminder of who Trish is now. She says, so you're sitting here in the dark, and Trish is like, it's not dark to me,
mm-hmm.
because she's the Hellcat.
Yeah.
And one of the most brutally honest things that I think could be said in this situation, Jessica asks Trish how it felt to kill Salinger, and she says, horrible and necessary. Give me your reaction to Trish's answer to that question, Adam.
I feel like Jessica is still trying to get Trish to feel regret, to know that the Trish that she grew up with is still there. And I think she sort of realized, like, yes, she is still there. This is what she's evolved into, though, because of all these circumstances and because of her getting the powers. But it was her desire to have the powers that put her in that position, right? Because she wanted to be special.
Yeah.
And then we kind of lean into the fact, like, was it I know we're going to get to this later, but was it there when she killed her mother? Like, is there something that she enjoys here? And Jessica is, like you said, trying to get Trish to turn herself in. She's like, that's what you need to do.
And Trish says that she's not going to stop. She'll stop when it's right to stop. And Jessica tries to make the point.
How many junkies have said that?
Right. And Eric comes in. And we knew his headache was at about a 5 when he was last around Trish. And he gets close and he starts crying blood like he did with Salinger. So this is like a Salinger level headache that he's getting from Trish. And, you know, sort of that darkness inside her will certainly come back a little later in the course of this episode, you know. And Trish does the old, okay, I'll turn myself in. Let me clean myself up. And I don't think anybody was surprised that she turned on the shower and jumped out the window. You know, but we see her trying
that classic little, I just want to, let me just use the bathroom first, running water gag. Come on.
And we see her trying to write a message to Jessica. Trish is really trying to explain herself because she just feels it all crashing down around her. She still feels like she's right, though. She feels like this is really the thing. And she's still trying to do right. So, of course, she calls Hogarth. I'm like, so how bad is this guy that you need me to steal something from?
And well, while Hogarth is with Kith.
Is with Kith. Yeah, so Kith is there in the moment. And she doesn't, you know, she sees how upset Kith is. She also doesn't want Trish to come to her house. So she's like, oh, yeah, he's a monster. And I was like,
yeah, she seems to go back and forth. Because at first she's like, no, fine, never mind, got it. Prank caller.
Yeah.
And then she's like, with Kith right there, she's like, yeah, she's a monster. Yeah. She's a monster.
Yeah. And
giving her permission to go get him.
Right. And in a scene right after that, Malcolm asks Jessica why she thinks Trish hasn't left town. And she says, because she needs to prove me wrong. You know, she has to show that she's still a good person. And this is how she thinks she's going to do it, by going to Dimitri Petseros' house and getting him to, I guess, to punish him in some way. And I think it's because Dimitri's daughter is there, she's able to stop herself. Because clearly we're able to draw the parallel from Trish's own life. You know, watching her parents fight and her mom.
Yeah, so she goes there because, like, what, it was tax evasion.
It was tax evasion. And he confesses to beating his wife.
What?
It's like nobody was looking for
that. What else did you do? Like, right, whoa, exactly. Buddy.
So what that accomplishes is like, oh, okay, so he is pretty bad. So Trish is a little bit more right than we thought she was, but she still goes too far, you know. That obviously...
Vigilante justice.
Yeah, it's vigilante justice, but I think that we're past the point where the punishment is fitting the crime. I think that,
she's like, please, she wants him to be worse than he is so she can dole out her punishment.
Right. Nussbaumer killed some kids who happened to be drug dealers. Montero set fires that killed people, including kids. Arson's bad. He didn't intend to kill people. But he did. So, like, these are bad guys. And then we've gotten to this guy who does tax evasion. And, of course, you should never abuse another human. So that is bad. Still doesn't need to be beaten to death. And I think if his daughter hadn't been there, she would have.
Yeah.
You know? Do you think there's any chance that she was going to leave him alive?
No, it was completely the daughter who came in. Yeah. And she's like, she stands up to her, telling her that she's called the cops.
Yeah.
Cell phone in hand.
Right. And so she runs off, and we're tidying up all the storylines because this is the last episode of the season, and as we now know, the last episode of the series. We see Malcolm and Eric's sister Bree at home just talking about ordering
Thai food.
Yeah.
And she was picking up the tab.
Yeah.
To show where she's gone from, what a brat she was when we first met her. She's like, now she's got her little man toy.
But here's my question. How'd she earn that money?
How did she earn that money? I was thinking the same thing.
I hope she got a job.
You know? I hope so too.
Like a professional job where you leave your clothes on. That's all I'm saying. You know what? Maybe she's a dancer. Okay, that's a professional job where you don't leave your clothes on. I'm just saying. I hope she hasn't gone back to her old tricks. Pun intended.
Ooh.
But then, of course. Who's going to show up?
Zaya.
That's not the Thai food.
Oopie.
No, it's Zaya. And she sees what's happening, and she says, you fooled another one. That's brutal. You want to talk about an unfiltered moment?
Yeah, so Zaya, she comes for her things.
Yeah.
Malcolm...
He's got the box
right there. He's got the box right there.
He's like, all right, peace out.
See ya. He almost gets away with it, and then she's like, we're not going to have a little post-mortem here?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you should go. She's like, fine. And then he goes with, I love you. I mean, this guy, not the best communicator.
Not the best communicator, but he at least explains that I loved you, but I sabotaged it. And he has this whole explanation that he feels like he didn't deserve her, which those are the conversations you should probably have with the other person in the relationship instead of sabotaging it and, you know, hooking up with the the sister who happened to be the lady of the night.
Yeah.
So that's closing the door on Zaya for sure. We're not going to get that much more, Malcolm, but I think it's important. We don't want to skip over it just because of the important story at hand, which really is Trish. And she, of course, goes to see Jerry because that was inevitable. And she's trying to convince Jessica. She says to her, I'm not your problem anymore. And Jessica says, you'll always be
my problem. Right.
And that was going to – that's really that is the problem at hand, right? That Jessica was going to have to spend the rest of her life trying to keep Trish in check I think, even if she hadn't killed Salinger. And it's just reached, it's gone too far. Give me your thoughts on the dynamic between Jessica and Trish kind of in this moment while they're just facing off there at Hogarth's apartment.
I mean, Jess is just trying to put out this fire at this point. Like, she's losing her, and she, like, you know, I think like you had said before, like, she certainly doesn't want to have to kill her.
Yeah.
You know, and she's just trying to get her to the point where she can get her turned in, you know, like, get her, and now, like, Jessica has to defend Hogarth, who she hates.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but once you've had to defend Salinger, it's not as hard to defend.
Yes. You know. So there's another little tussle here, mm-hmm. right, where we get to see Jessica tossing around Hellcat again.
Yeah, which again, this is what we were alluding to, I think, in our previous episode, just how easy it is for Jessica. She's like, I really don't want to do this, but let me just show you.
And I think, is this the time where she's like, you can't beat me? And she's like, well, not in the light.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And they keep teasing this idea that we're going to see something in the dark happen.
Some kind of like Hellcat, like,
very
dark fight.
Loudly broadcasting it. Yeah. And then, you know, Trish takes Kith as a hostage.
And look, we're already past the point of no return, but she's gone a couple more points of even further no return. And taking Kith hostage, it's like, look at what you're doing. I think Jessica even says that to her. It's like, You're taking literally an innocent person. Hogarth, you can argue if she's an innocent person. Kith, she doesn't even know who she is. I mean, Trish doesn't, you know? And she's taking her hostage. And that, of course, puts Jerry into action because she's just like, nope, I'll get you out of the country. Take me. Let her go. And look, Jerry knows it's not going to be a good couple days. You know, she's got a couple days left or whatever. You know, I mean, weeks, months, who knows? So she wants to make sure that she protects Kith, and she'll do anything to protect her. So much so she shoots Jessica in the leg, which is not exactly what I saw coming. Were you surprised that Jerry was willing to go that far for Kith?
Again, this is. No, I was not surprised.
Yeah.
Because this is what we've seen in Jerry. Like, and it's almost like what we've seen in Wilson Fisk.
Yeah.
Right? This very complex
Vanessa.
Right? Like, he will do anything for Vanessa because that's what he holds on. It's his last connection to humanity.
Right.
And like, so that's how he sleeps at night. That's how he faces it. Hogarth believes that whatever she's doing, as long as she can have love and her whether it's what she feels for Kith or what she thinks she remembers feeling, the idea of feeling love ties her to humanity. It ties her to, you know, not dying. It makes her feel alive. And so if there's anything she really cares about, they've gone out of their way on the show to let us know that Hogarth genuinely cares for Kith. She'll do anything for her.
Right, and it's not her usual, you know, there is this weird element of I love you, I need you all to myself, so I need to get your husband out of the picture. Here's another oopsie. He killed himself. So she is willing to protect her, and she'll do whatever it takes. So, of course, if anybody's going to know people who can smuggle you out of the country in a coffin,
yes,
it's Jerry Hogarth.
It's great.
Yeah.
And then that really that leads us to Jess doing something kind of unexpected. Where she exposes. She's the one that exposes the identity of Hellcat.
She tampered with police evidence so that Salinger did not release the fact that Trish was Hellcat.
Right.
And then she's like, well, I got to do this now.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so it's like, oh, well, if you were going to have to, if you knew you were going to have to release her, you were going to have to give away your secret identity, then you might as well have just let Fool Killer, put the picture out there. And then the season would have been over four episodes earlier. So I'm glad that didn't happen because we got to enjoy it. But yeah, the effort she went to protect Trish. And now she's like, yeah, so it's Trish. And here's a picture of her.
And then we get hashtag Find Patsy.
We did get hashtag Find Patsy. And they had, it was both. Was Jillian there? Malcolm and Eric were looking into it, trying to find her. Everybody was trying to find her. And Jessica, being the good detective, starts to figure out where. Oh, somebody does spot her.
She gets spotted heading out to Long Island near Farmingdale, which is where the Islip Airport is.
Right.
I grew up not far from there.
There you go,
So I know Islip Airport. I believe that's what they were going to.
Yeah. And so she puts it together. She just starts to figure it out. And this is another one of those moments.
I don't know how she gets out there as that quickly, though. If you've ever been on Long Island Expressway traffic, that's pretty tough.
She can jump. You know, so maybe
she had me doing some incredible Hulk 3.5 milers.
She did some hops, you know. But you know, and here's what you have to figure. It had to take Jerry and Trish a long time to get out there too. Yeah, you know, the LIE. You know what did they go through the Queens Midtown Tunnel?
It's like
tunnel?
A parking lot. Yeah, I'm telling
exactly.
you, it's like so, standing still.
This is another one of those moments, like when Eric goes to tell Jessica that Trish has done this and she's already figured it out. Jerry calls her and like, yeah, I'm at this place, and Jessica's like, yeah, I'm right here. Mm-hmm. I thought that was actually
that
really
was funny.
Funny.
Yeah,
she's like, hey, you're gonna come to this place. He's like, yeah, I'm there.
That was a great Jessica Jones moment.
And you know, I think that's a great way, a great storytelling device to kind of.
And Hogarth again does something kind of cool, right? Like she's like gonna expose her. She's like, no, I'm gonna drop dime on her.
Yeah, right. No, exactly.
And so we should mention the fact that up to this point, Hogarth is going to sneak her out in a coffin.
Right.
She's going to go to Thailand.
Yeah, and she's going to have to hang out for a month.
I mean, it is dirty business.
It's all figured out, and Jerry knows all these people. Jerry has the money. She can do all these things. She's doing it all for Kith. And
how much do you think that cost to get to smuggle her out?
I think the whole thing, because it seems like they're gonna basically hold her up for like a month.
Assuming she gets like a sandwich in that coffin.
That's got to be a million.
You think a million?
What are you getting, 500 grand?
I was thinking 200K. Am I a bargain basement? Tell me in the chat roll.
Tell us in the chat roll how much you think it costs.
If I was that guy, I'd be like, yeah, 200K,
I'll
do that. And
also, if you ever need to be smuggled out of the country in a coffin, Adam's your guy. Don't come to me. My prices are too high. His prices are insane.
His coffin looked fairly comfortable. It was padded.
It was
and
nice.
Like,
yeah.
It was really creepy. I wanted to say, like, I'm not super claustrophobic, but a little bit sometimes. And just that was just.
Yeah. And she, and you know, we sort of get the reminder of her addiction in season two. She's like, yeah, no drugs. The guy's like, you need to be sedated because you're going to lay in there. And she's like, I can't.
Oh, you're so smart. I totally forgot that callback.
Yeah. And I was just like, so you want to be awake in that coffin? And she's in there for like a couple minutes, and we're already like, this ain't good. But Jessica, you know,
shows up, and
this is the other thing that's been building to. So we were building to the last episode. Finally, Salinger gets Jessica in the chair, and now, unfortunately, we've been building to this showdown between Jessica and Trish, and there have been some slap fights along the way. Yeah. She gets tossed across a roof. This is where they really go at it. And they also just let the emotions fly. I mean, amongst the things that they talk about, Jessica tells Trish that you've become her. You've become Dorothy. You know, like, and more importantly than that, she says that this thing's been in you all along. I saw it when you shot my mother.
Yes.
That was just
so brutal. This is a big moment because they had a moment earlier in the season where they sort of forgave each other. They apologized. I'm sorry I shot your mom.
Yeah.
I'm sorry she was,
mass murderer.
But now we see this is what Jessica was really reacting to. The fact that she's got great senses and she knows her sister. And she saw that. She saw a part of her that enjoyed it. And that was really what was messed up. And then Hellcat plays Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
Yes, she does.
And she's...
Music by Bono and the Edge.
Oh, yes! Revival coming soon, I'm sure. And then they get to have... And I always love when we get to see like how the powers work, like how Daredevil's powers work. And then we get to see Hellcat's sort of like night vision.
Yeah, we finally get to see that.
Where we're like Jessica kind of moving around in the dark, but we have the spotlight on her, and then she's able to take some shots at her. Doesn't last very long, though.
No, she's... Yeah, I think that's why it lasts as long as it does. She has a little bit of an advantage, but Jessica's just like, remember how easy this is for me? Boom!
Jessica gets the hand on her, we see that she has been holding Burke, because it's basically one power slam. If I wish I knew wrestling better, I know this is somebody's move.
I know. If only our friend X-Pac were here. Who
it was like
show
a pickup by the scruff of her, and just
he could tell us what that
boom.
Was. And you know, it reaches. You know, there's all these things that they talk about, and Trish is pleading her case at one point that these people that she's killed won't hurt anyone else now because of her. But Jessica's like, but you will. And that's the problem. She's going to go out on this sort of vendetta against people who she deems are bad people. But clearly, with Dimitri, she doesn't have a good barometer for what she needs to do about people. You know, it was a lot better when Jessica and Eric went around and, you know, got people to, you know, basically confess and turn them over to police. You know, what Trish is doing is not going to work. And when Trish pulls a knife on Jessica, so we have the moment where she takes Kit hostage and then she pulls a knife on her sister. Adam, what are you thinking? And what do you think Jess is thinking in that moment?
I mean, this is again, we keep saying that's the point of no return. This
she's
is
so
the point
far
of
down
no
the
return.
Road, yeah.
But she goes at her with the knife and Jessica stops it with her hand.
Yeah, which, you know, I like when we get these indications of just how tough and strong Jessica is. I'm sure it didn't feel great, but she's like, yes, there's a knife in my hand. Anyway, I'm still going to knock you out. You know, it's like, that's what you had was a knife. And now I've stopped it. And now I've stopped you. So that closes the book on the fight. That closes the book on Trish Walker's freedom. And she's booked by Costa. And he's just giving her the charges. And he asks her repeatedly, do you understand?
Yeah.
And Adam, what does Trish say when she's asked if she understands? Do you remember?
What does she say? No,
she says, she realizes, I'm the bad guy.
Oh, right. Yes,
in
she
that
does.
Moment,
yeah.
She's like, I don't, you know, that's what we were talking about in our previous episode and earlier in this episode. She's very well intentioned. She means well. She's starting from a good place. And it just, everything spirals out of control.
Yeah. So,
and you know, in true Trish Walker, true Patsy fashion, got a little cray cray.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. And then we see, then we go to Hogarth, right? Hogarth and Kith.
Yeah, which, and Hogarth is like, oh my God, wasn't I so heroic? When
and I'm like, are you giving me a happy ending for Hogarth right now? I'm like, no way.
And no chance. Kith is like, yeah, thanks, but I gotta go. You're bad news.
Yeah.
And Hogarth, you know, calls after her that she's the last mistake she will ever make. Did you think, Adam, that there was a chance that Jerry was going to, one, collapse, two, start digging around looking for that pill bottle that's going to kill her that we saw at the beginning of the season?
Oh, you know, I didn't – the pill bottle didn't occur to me.
Right.
But when the ALS creeped in, you know, I didn't realize that, like, Kith didn't really know about it.
Yeah.
You know, right? Isn't that the moment that, like, she tells her?
Yeah.
Right?
Right. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. So she lets her know and just brutal. Kith.
I was happy to see Kith hold her ground. Yeah, I don't want things to end. I don't want Hogarth to be happy.
No, Hogarth doesn't deserve to be happy, and certainly Kith shouldn't. It doesn't deserve to have to spend time with Hogarth. And so Kith says, "You don't want to die alone, but you're going to." And that's just like, whew.
Ooh.
So you want to talk about unfiltered moments? There have been like 10 of them in this episode, and that's a big one right there. So. We really, you know, we're tying a ribbon now on all these storylines. We're closing the book on Hogarth. You know, she doesn't die. So had there been more Marvel Netflix seasons, we could have seen her in another season of Daredevil or another season of Iron Fist. A lot of places would have made sense for us to see her again.
Yes, she was. They didn't progress her illness so far that she was, you know, going to not be part of a future season.
But also, if you wanted to start off Daredevil season 4, where everybody shows up at her funeral, you could have done that too.
Absolutely. You know? If you couldn't get Carrie Ann Moss again for whatever reason.
She's like, yeah, I want a little bit more money. Oh, look at that. You were dying.
Exactly.
And now you're dead. We see the New York Bulletin headline that Jessica Jones, bona fide hero.
Yeah, so this is the whole arc of the season.
That's the difference between the New York Bulletin and the Daily Bugle.
Yes.
Daily Bugle would never have called any powered person a bona fide hero. But the New York Bulletin, it's a little bit more open-minded.
Jameson would have been like, oh, the failing New York Bulletin.
That's right.
And their, you know,
pro-superhero
agenda.
The pro-superheroes who rigged the election.
Right. Yeah. Like, the only place to fair and balance Bugle.
is the Bugle. And, you know, I really like where we leave things with Jessica and Eric. You know, she's like, no, we're not going to drive off into the sunset.
I don't trust you.
I don't trust you. But here's the thing. He's like, I'm going to do something about that.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I want, he realizes that this is a really special person.
Good for you.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to make a 100 burgers. I'm going to try and be a better person. And I love this idea of something that we could have seen in the future, that Eric and Costa could have worked together in the way that Jessica worked with him a little bit. And unfortunately, you know, not getting carried away like Trish did, but just like, he even tells him, he's like, yeah, there's a guy in like a red sweater.
Yeah. So,
like,
yeah.
So I love this idea.
Costa Cruz with Eric. But what I couldn't wrap my head around, Christian, was like, how does this relationship work? I mean, he's a cop.
Right.
It's really difficult to be like, it's a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. Right, with like privacy and like,
sure,
you know what I mean. Like, but that guy did something bad.
Right,
I have no proof. But I don't know.
If you know he's bad, you can kind of be like, all right, so we've got this list. Let's keep an eye out on these.
I know, but then we're putting people on lists. This is true. A very slippery slope. This is McCarthyism. This is Nazism. This is like
all these things. What's that movie with the future crime? I can't think of the name.
They
made a TV series out of it. I was just so mad at myself
the other day.
Yeah. Well, somebody in the chat will tell me what it is. Because I can't.
Future crime. Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tom Cruise is in it. Exactly. How can I not think of a Tom Cruise? I can think of the subtitles of all the Mission Impossible movies.
Come on, chat roll. You got it for us.
I don't. Anyway, so I like where we see that headed, and I like that Jessica gives the keys to Malcolm, basically saying like, yeah, why don't you run up Alias, not Alien, that'd be a different.
Yeah, yeah, she walks away from Alias investigations,
and I think it's great that we kind of see Jessica's like
Minority Report.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I bet that there's like 8 people in the chat who are like Minority Report, idiot.
Yeah, I know.
You know, not at you, at me.
It's hard to think of the moment.
Yeah. I know there's so much to keep track of as we talk about Jessica here. But yes, Minority Report.
So what were you thinking at this point? When she's walking away, like, where did you think she was going?
My thinking was like, you know what, she's going to take a break. You know, Jessica, yes, she turned the keys over to Malcolm, but I really didn't think she was walking away from all of it. You know what I mean? That wasn't the feeling that I had.
In the first episode, she's in Mexico.
Yeah.
Why is she going back to Mexico? Well, when we see her, she walks into Grand Central Terminal, or maybe it's Port Authority, and she gets a bus, which, I mean, again, that too. It's like, is she really that broke she can't afford a plane ticket?
Yeah, no, she's saving her money, you know, clearly.
But so she wants to go get as close to Mexico as you can get, El Paso, Texas. So why do you think she wants to go to Mexico? Do you have a theory on this?
My thinking is honestly just to get drunk and lay on the beach.
Right, because she doesn't really get to enjoy the beach when she's there the first time.
Yeah, she was working, yeah. So she's like, I'm going to come back. And, you know, I don't think she has a plan, like a superhero plan. And, you know, before she gets to the bus station, though, she's packed everything up. She sees Trish getting taken away in a helicopter, which is just there's no dialogue. It's just all facial expression.
And there's a sort of peace that happens between them.
Yeah.
You know, Trish kind of like acknowledges that she's where she should be.
I'm the bad guy. You're the hero, the bona fide hero. You had to do this. And, you know, Trish knows that she has nobody to blame except herself. I do feel like they were, you know, there must have been some grand plan for the fact that Trish doesn't die, the fact that, Diamondback doesn't die, and we know they're both in the same place.
Okay.
On the raft, you know, was this going to come back? Because the raft is referenced earlier this season and somewhere people go and they don't, you know, and we don't hear from them again. Was there going to be like a... what's the Marvel version of like the way the Suicide Squad movie was? You know, they put together like the team of bad guys. You know, was
there a Sinister Six?
Yeah,
or
well,
like,
exactly, something like that. So, was there a plan like that? You know, which we'll never know. But
it's interesting. What would they have done with the character of Trish Walker?
Right.
It's an interesting thing to think about because she's not getting out like in a couple years with good behavior. Like that's like 3 different kills. That would be interesting if she did partner with some bad dudes, or maybe that would have been her ultimate path to redemption. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's sort of that would have been the way to see it. So we get this amazing moment. Jessica is buying her ticket. And all of a sudden, everything turns purple.
There was somebody else in the chat room saying thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. I was waiting for that. And yes, let me give credit really fast. Incan TV, ER's Grandpa, Ghost, 8386.
And they also gave us Minority Report.
All new Minority Report.
Yes, of course.
So I just couldn't get the chat open at that moment. It was just taking
What's
too long.
What's funny is I was trying to remember the name of Minority Report the other day for a completely separate thing. And I was like, oh, I thought I would have had it.
Well, they probably took that memory out of your mind. That's how they do things.
Precogs.
So when everything turns purple.
Oh, man.
And Jessica hears that voice of like, yeah, let somebody else do it. Go ahead. Walk away. I mean, it was 1 a.m, so I non-verbally just, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I was on Kilgrave's the plane. Voice, yeah. I was on the plane. People were sleeping. It was like a nighttime flight, and I think I definitely made an audible sound. I think I clapped a couple of times.
Yeah.
I've said it before. I'm so over the moon. David Tennant is my man crush.
Sure.
He's a guy that, like, came back from being the best Doctor Who and then has been so great in other things. Like,
and so different in other
and
things.
So
whether it's Broadchurch or Good Omens,
yes.
Or, you know, just wherever you see him, he's always good.
Definitely chill inducing. I agree with...
Renji 90998 yes. Got chills. Absolutely.
Got chills. And you're wondering, yeah, is he alive? Is he just existing in her mind? What were they going to do with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like, you know, from season two, we know he exists in our mind, and she was able to shut him up in that moment, and we didn't see him at all this season. I think that's good, but the idea that maybe he's still lingering back there somewhere, and who knows what they would have done with season four.
I want to hear what Melissa Rosenberg's plan.
There had to be a plan, you know?
You know, had they got to go on, like, where would they have gone? I do like hearing about those, like, you know, magic if we got to do it, where would they have gone?
Just let us know.
Because everything I've heard, it sounds like we're done. Like, they're not doing one of those campaigns, save our show.
No, there's a really vocal one, very active one for Daredevil. But... Kristen Ritter had to kind of not retract, but she had to clarify a statement she made. She felt like she was done playing Jessica and she liked where it ended. And then she clarified a follow-up. It's like, look, it's not that I wouldn't play her again. I just don't think I'm going to get the chance to. But of course, she's the greatest character. I love her. I would like to play her again. But this has such a great sense of finality. And I think when they wrapped production on this, they didn't know that this was the last Marvel Netflix season. They probably thought there was always a chance this could have been the last season of Jessica Jones. But it just does such a great job. It's a great arc for Jessica and for the entire series.
I think Marvel would be foolish to not include her in a film.
Right.
As a minor character, like where a detective is needed, have her working with the main character of the film, just like we saw the original Jarvis show up in Endgame and tied it back to the TV universe.
Right.
This character, more than any of the others, because like I feel like they're bigger properties, I don't see a Jessica Jones series happening again anytime soon.
No.
I don't see it getting a movie, but maybe a Disney Plus. That is the other interesting thing about the Disney Plus thing is like this idea of like Netflix-like movies, smaller films. I just saw I Am Mother on Netflix. And I thought, wow, what a great small-ish sci-fi film that it was big enough. Like it was like one of the first Netflix films I saw that really hit the sweet spot for me where I was like, it doesn't feel like a TV movie. I don't need it on a big screen. Wow, it's great. If you can do that with like sort of self-contained, almost like they did the Columbo murder mystery movies, later on, Peter Falk came back many times and reprised the role of Columbo. Bill Bixby came back in the 90s.
He did a couple of Incredible Hulk TV movies.
Three times was the Incredible Hulk. The first time we got Daredevil on screen was in the trial of the Incredible Hulk.
And Thor.
Of course we got Thor, the Don Blake Thor.
Yeah.
I mean, those were cheesy and awful, but man, as a fan of the original series,
I was so excited to see those characters
happy
on
to
television.
See them.
That's,
exactly.
That's all that matters. So, yes, we could definitely get her again, but let's just work under the assumption that this is it. They did such a great job. We can talk for the next 7 minutes about what could have happened, what could have been next, but we don't know.
But did they stick the landing?
I think they did.
I think so too.
I think this was such a great season. And look, I don't dislike season two of this show. I just didn't like it anywhere near as much as season one. And then I think that they really were back to form in this season. Season three, I think, was great. This is one of the better Marvel Netflix seasons for me. And that's going to bring us to our top three here. And this is tough because we're limited to three.
Three seasons. This is now our top three.
Yes, Marvel Netflix seasons.
So, up in the running, you have two seasons of Punisher.
Yep.
You have three seasons of Daredevil. You have two seasons of Luke Cage.
Two seasons of Iron Fist. One season of Defenders and
three seasons of Jessica Jones. Wow, that is a lot.
We did
get a nice chunk.
Yeah. Right, and that's also part of the reason why Netflix was like, we're good with Marvel superhero shows.
And you know
we
what?
Plenty.
While I'm sad about it, I also can appreciate a volume and an end of a run.
Yeah.
You know, like what New 52 was, or like what when you have something that has a beginning, middle, and an end.
Something new is coming, you know?
Exactly.
Whatever it is, it's going to be fun to explore it. But And then, you know, you can disagree, but I feel like there's going to be some common ground here. For me, I would say my number three favorite Marvel Netflix season is going to be Daredevil season one. My number two is Jessica Jones season one. And my number three is Daredevil season three. I just thought long and hard, you know, the course of like 30 minutes, that it was just so great. It was perfectly realized. And no, you don't get that great season three without a great first season, without a very good second season. But it just was so great beginning to end. And some of those Netflix seasons really lag around episodes 9 and 10.
Yeah.
And these three that I've listed, I don't think that happened. But what about you, Adam?
So I've watched all the seasons. I would say, you know, just to kind of say, like, I was a little disappointed in The Defenders. Didn't yeah. quite get going the way I
and
wanted
to. And when I found
to.
It was only 8 episodes, I was like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
I felt like I got ripped off there.
I also do really like the Punisher shows.
Yeah, I do too. I like both seasons.
This is a character that I was not a fan of in the comics, mm-hmm. Just because it was just like the guns and the things. It wasn't my hero, but I thought, man, that was the best realization in any version of the Punisher on the page or screen or film. I thought that was the best.
Yeah, no one had gotten close before on the screen.
Like, Bernthal was the perfect casting for it.
And the tone was right, and his backstory was, you know, it was modernized, it was updated. So
my number three is going to be Daredevil season two.
Okay.
Introduction to the Punisher.
Which is amazing. Loved it. I love that.
My number two is Daredevil season three.
Okay.
And my number one is Daredevil season one.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to be boring
that. That's just what you like.
I just feel like with the limitations they had with the TV budget, with like the kind of superpower stuff you can do, martial arts is something that you could do with really talented cast. The stunt work, the hallway scenes, Vincent D'Onofrio, the Bullseye, making Bullseye a threat.
Bullseye
what
was
we talked
so great.
About.
Yeah.
The Karen Page arc, the Night Nurse, like, man, there wasn't an episode of that show. I was like, oh, lame episode. Stick. Oh, my God.
Stick was great.
It was
Elektra.
Just,
you didn't even say Elektra.
Elektra.
You know?
And also, like, that one crazy ninja battle in, like, episode 5 or something of Daredevil season 1. Like,
right.
this epic. Like, that was on such a level to me. And, like, some of my complaints with even Jessica Jones season 1, I would think, like, how do the effects look so wonky here in the fighting when it's like Daredevil makes the fighting look so good?
I would say my high ranking for Jessica Jones is, of course, partially due to Kristen Ritter, but David Tennant was so great.
Yeah, I mean, it's so close there with Jessica Jones season one and like Punisher season two. I would probably come after. I think I even liked season two of Punisher more than one because
I did too, actually.
It was an unabashed action movie. It was like the best action movie from like
it was the
80s.
Yeah, this great 12-hour action movie.
It was just insane. His growling, everything.
Yeah.
And the
and for me, hovering right around outside the top three are this season of Jessica Jones.
Yes.
And if you've seen a lot of these after shows, you know how much I liked season two of Iron Fist. So those are all right there with me. But here's the thing. I didn't watch any season of these Netflix shows and been like, well, that wasn't very good. I was like, oh, they really, you know, season two of Jessica Jones, a lot of people didn't like. I liked it, just it wasn't on the same level as season one, but that's fine. It's still very good. These are all really good. Ghost 8386 in the chat, my favorite Marvel Netflix villains, which is a great one. Billy Russo, Davos, Bullseye, Bushmaster, and Kilgrave. You went through quite a few of them there.
Yeah.
But they're all great.
Bushmaster was great.
I loved Bushmaster.
And that was another flashback episode we had too, right?
Like, it was Bushmaster's story when he's a kid. That was a great one. So,
I mean, for the most part, I've enjoyed them all. I know you like Iron Fist a little bit more than me.
Than most people, by the way. I fully acknowledge that most people don't like it.
My big complaint is like with Iron Fist, it's like when the martial arts is so much better in a Daredevil show, it's kind of hard to, you know, get behind like your whole show about your master of kung fu. So I'm interested to see where Marvel takes martial arts with Shang-Chi.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's worth seeing. And just shocking comment in the chat. Renji 90998. I stopped with less than half on the last seasons of Daredevil and Punisher when I heard they got canceled. Maybe I'll finish watching later on. I can't wrap my head around that. Renji, you do you.
Do you?
But I can't imagine not finishing those stories.
Yeah.
both of those stories are great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that they were good. Look, I've done that before. Like a new show, you add it to the DVR, you have three of them pile up, it gets canceled. Okay, great. You just delete it. You don't watch. But these were great.
Yeah.
I couldn't recommend them more strongly. Anyway, Michael Cullen with a tough question in the chat. Who's better, Kingpin or Kilgrave?
Oof.
That's too hard. That's a Sophie's Choice style question. The only reason that you can maybe gravitate towards Kingpin is you got more of them.
You got more of them.
They really were able to build the character better.
I'm going to edge it to Kilgrave.
Yeah. You know what? Neither of us are wrong.
And just slightly.
Yeah,
Because of that Doctor Who love and seeing, like, making him into, like, a villain, like, you know. But man, that's a Sophie's Choice. That's a flip a coin.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
well, it's been a pleasure talking about Jessica Jones with you this season, Christian.
It's been wonderful. And you and I had never done a show before. Never. So I was glad we got this opportunity.
Well, but when, like, you're like a comic fan, you have common ground. Like when I used to read comics in high school and middle school, like I didn't have quite as many friends that were into it. The world is different and there's so many more of us. We are legion. And the fact that we have these shows where our useless knowledge from our youth is actually paying off in things that are being received by a popular media, it's a freaking good time.
Yeah, no, when you're a kid and you have a friend who reads comics and he moves away, you're like, oh no, that was my friend that I could talk about comics with. Now, like, you know, and we didn't have anything. We didn't have the forums. We didn't have Twitter. We didn't have anything. You're just like, well, maybe I'll meet another friend one day. Anyway, this has been a joy to talk about this show. I feel bad for Trish that this is where her story
ended up. She gets left in jail.
But honestly, there was nowhere else for her to go. This is how her story had to end. That, unfortunately, was her truth. And our truth is that we're out of time. And, you know, Adam, speaking of Legion, you can catch me on the Legion After Show Monday nights here at AfterBuzz TV at 9 Pacific. Season 3 is now well underway.
I just want to say that was one of the best episodes of television I've ever seen.
And the first 20 minutes of it had everything that people who don't like the show drives them crazy. Because you didn't see any of the main characters. It was so weird.
There was a musical number.
There was a musical number. But for me, I'm like, this is amazing. This is why it's so great that show's
so
on TV.
So great. I will tune in and watch you on
and
that.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And what, in mere minutes, maybe even 2 minutes, you'll be able to find Adam over on the Popcorn Talk Network.
Yes, come over to Popcorn Talk Network, which is just a click away. We'll be talking about DC movie news. I'll be with Mike Kalinowski, and we're going to flip the coin. I'm going to put away my Marvel badge and get out my DC coin.
And then we'll see what's going on over there. And you can always find you over there. And you can find me on Marvel Movie News. So you see,
everywhere.
There's no shortage. You're also on the Swamp Thing After Show. Yep. So many places you can find us. Anyway, if you're watching the archive version, please continue to post in the chat here on this episode. Always like interacting with people, even if it's like months from now. We get little updates when people comment on our comments. So that's all for now. That's all for Netflix. Thanks so much, everyone. We'll see you soon.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.